This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The Mark Reardon Show.
There's no big energy coming out of the Democratic Party.
Shock, disgust, happiness, sweat, a little bit of lust, baby.
It's go time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see it when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Thank you, George Shea. Always appreciated when the voice of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest introduces this show on a regular basis. My goodness, is it nice out. Unbelievable weather, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even windy. It's just warm and comfortable. And we had the windows open last night. And when I woke up this morning, it was just 66 degrees in the house because I turned the furnace off. But I was so happy with that. I was so happy with that because I knew it was going to warm up.
Exactly.
I kept the windows open, so I didn't even close them. I'm like, you know what?
Same.
It's going to warm up every 15 minutes, and that's exactly what it did. I took Duke on a little hike today up in the park near my house, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh,
he's just
nice.
Having a great time. I did put the flea and tick on because those little buggers, they come out real fast this time of year, right?
Yeah, they really do. I saw a wasp.
They come,
how is that possible?
They come to life very quickly. Look, you know, one of the, when I see wasps, wait, sorry, Fred, we don't have your microphone on. We can't have that. We only have 2 days left for Fred before he heads to Japan, so we got to have his microphone on. A lot of times, like when there's warm weather in the fall when I'm out in the deer stand, you get the, what do you call those little things? The wasps or the carpenter,
yeah,
or whatever. And they'll start emerging when it's warm.
It's
right?
Nuts. Yeah. I mean, it's just been days.
Well,
I was not happy.
I remember I told you I did some yard work on Sunday. I don't do that too much, but I did it on Sunday, and already yesterday, I was telling Becky, I saw little tufts, I like that word, tufts, of green that were kind of coming up,
yeah,
in between all the brown and stuff, but the grass is growing, and then the deal is, you know, because I cut my own grass now, you know that, right?
I'm a
regular
American. You're a
American.
Man of the people.
Right, exactly.
I would love to see that. I just...
Why is that so funny?
I don't know.
Because you were years and years.
You were New Balance? You were into those white New Balance,
I
the dad
not.
Shoes? When
I
you
do not
it?
Wear white shoes, period. I do not wear... But, I, you know, when you cut the lawn, like I do, I mean,
sure,
once you start cutting it, then it just like grows like crazy. So don't you kind of want to, I don't know this because it's been a while since I've started the year. You might remember last year I didn't start the year with the lawnmower. I started with the lawn crew.
Right.
And then they jacked the price,
yep,
which I'm expecting that they jack the price again this year. And by the way, I said at the time, I get it. You got to jack your prices, uh-huh, because you're covering costs. I understand that. But I had a choice as a consumer to buy my own lawnmower and cut my own lawn. But starting the year that way, see,
you think
what can I say?
Contact you again and try again,
no,
for the old rear
no,
lawn?
I think I've kind of made a decision and moved on.
Okay.
Look, it was getting to be, it's not that big of a yard, and it was $50 every cut, and it just wasn't.
That adds up.
No, I paid for my damn lawnmower by July,
you.
Sue.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the weather if you're out there. We got a lot of stuff to cover here this afternoon. I want to remind everyone that we have a Fish Fry Friday coming up live from the Knights of Columbus. And we, you know, if we're being honest here, just thinking back to maybe even the last couple of years on those fish fries. They're not always warm days, but we are in a warm stretch of weather.
Right.
So this will be nice on Friday afternoon as well. Jane Duker will be on the roundtable panel. And by the way, we have action on that bill to put the police in St. Louis under the state control again. That's a little bit of a misnomer, but you'd have a police commission, if you will. We'll talk about that on Friday. Might even be signed by the governor by then. We'll find out. Jeff Smith, former state senator, and Nick Schroer will be here as well. My friend Chris Smith, who was shot in the head a few years ago. His a book coming out about it. He was featured on 48 Hours. He's going to swing by his amazing recovery story. This afternoon, Kilmeade's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And Elliot Davis is going to be with us this afternoon. I'm very interested.
Good.
I used to love Elliot Davis's segments on Fox 2.
You paid for it.
That's right. He did a great job. He was one of the rare people in St. Louis that had the guts to actually ask tough questions of elected officials. I mean, we really are missing that. But he's doing independent journalism at this point. And here's what caught my attention. Because yesterday, he, I think this was a friend that sent this to me. I did not see this on the Facebook. I don't spend a lot of time there these days because I'm cutting my lawn so much.
Well,
I don't have time.
A man of the people have time for that.
He was very critical of Gabe Gore and basically making some allegations, posing some questions about whether or not some of the things that are happening in the circuit attorney's office currently are altogether different from what Kim Gardner was doing. Now, look, that has not been the perception because I even sat down. We had him on last week, Andrew Bailey, the attorney general. When I was in Jeff City, I talked to him about this and we talked about Kim and everything that's happened and, you know, optimism about Gabe. I think there is optimism and I think that that office has been cleaned up. But I'm going to hear what Elliot has to say. Plus, he's got some thoughts on the election. I got great Tish stuff this afternoon.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can get to that here in a couple of minutes. But let's start with Elon Musk and Tesla and the intense hatred that is out there for both Elon and for President Trump right now. So some of this stuff just gets so unhinged. And I think I mentioned in the aftermath of the election, there were a bunch of people, mainly these are folks on the coast, if you will, some musician friends that are just overtaken by Trump derangement syndrome. Now, I kind of thought that some of this would die off. It has not. And this, Fred, I don't know if you've seen this. This is a former colleague. I won't mention names. Someone on your side of the building, Fred, that said this. We bought a Tesla 3 years ago before Elon came out as a Nazi. Let me just stop right there. Let me just stop right there. That is so ridiculous. Do you really?
Yep.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's interesting if you do. I'm not gonna mention. Oh, yeah. She knew it right away. Oh, my God. Sue, how did you know that right away?
Because,
well, you must know he's got a
Tesla. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, but let me. That's great. Well, maybe it's not too hard to figure out. But Adolf Hitler exterminated millions of people. I have this amazing speech that I have a copy of from the father-in-law of a dear friend of mine. And Fred, you're familiar with this. And I read this usually on Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I'm not going to do that right now, but I'm going to share a little part of the story. And I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't remember all the details. But they were in... I think this was in the Warsaw Ghetto, hiding from the Nazis, a bunch of people, adults and a newborn infant, hiding in a home from the Nazis. The baby was crying. The father of the baby put a blanket over the baby. The baby was killed, essentially sacrificed so that whole room could survive. So any kind of allegation that any of this has any remote connection to what happened with Adolf Hitler and the Nazis is ludicrous. It's ridiculous. It's also ridiculous to have comparisons to the Cold War to what's happening in Ukraine. I'm tired of that one, too. And I'm tired of it from people who claim to be Republicans because shut the F up. That's nothing like what was happening during the Cold War. But back to the Facebook post. We bought a Tesla 3 years ago before Elon came out as a Nazi. Love the car, but would like to sell it for obvious reasons. However, thanks to F. Felon, like he put an F and then Elon, get it? Felon and Orange Jesus, the value has tanked. Many Tesla owners bought it for the right reasons. We did not have a misspelling Elon, go full Nazi, killing the car's value on our bingo card, which that just, I'm sorry, makes me laugh my ass off because it's hilarious. I hope you're stuck with the car and I hope you can't sell it because The reaction that these people are having is insane.
Yes, it is.
And it's not getting better. You're out of your mind. And by the way, the other thing that's got to frustrate them is 80% of the damn people in the country are tired of it too, and they're sick of it. Right?
Yep.
They're tired of it right now. Jennings had a great call last night, discussion on Doge and some of that stuff. Here's what I would say, and I've expressed some uncomfortability about the tariff situation. I have a great listener response on that. I'll get to that here in a second as well. But ladies and gentlemen, and this is what I would encourage you to say to your friends who are, you know, unhinged and bitching about this. We're in the second inning. And I'd say we're in the top of the second inning. We're not even close to the midway point of the game. And you can kind of say the midway point of the game is a year from now, because we have to be realistic, and the midterms are going to be a play in 2026. But they're doing a lot right now, and some of it is really good. A lot of it is really good. Some of it is maybe a little questionable. Some of it maybe will be reversed, and I think some of it has been reversed. Some of it was hashed out in a very... very passionate, we'll call it passionate, cabinet meeting last Wednesday, a week ago today, where Marco Rubio and Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, you know, stood up. But my God, like, I know and I get that some of this is set up by Trump's expectations. On day one, we're not going to have. But guess what happened today? Inflation is down. Okay. The price of eggs is down. Frank Luntz just said down 33%. Now, a lot of that has nothing to do with Trump. There's the bird flu, and they're trying to figure that out. Fred, we're going to talk about that a little bit today, right?
Right, in the 5 o'clock
but
hour.
For the expectations. Now, okay, let's go back to the previous administration. We weren't, let me just talk about the stock market for a second. I'm concerned because I have a 401k. I have investments. I want to see that thing continue to roll. I look at my little Acorns account every day. Acorns is where I do this roundup, and I, you know, put some of the money when I'm spending stuff. It goes into this account. I'm showing my daughter, you know, how this works, and it's kind of fun because I can see. I've only been in it for like a year and a half, and I'll just check right now. I was up 14%. Now it's 7.5%. But what's it going to be next week and next month? And I want to bring this up because there's all this panic about the stock market right now. I'll admit there's some unease for those of us who, you know, are depending on this for retirement. But do you know when the stock market was previously down to this particular level of 42,000? In October.
That's just it. It's a long game.
Of course it is. Now, I will say this too. You look at when Biden came in office, the one thing that did happen over the course of the last 4 years is that stock market took off. We were at 23,000 in 2020, 2021. So you added a lot. But to act like this is all of a sudden a disaster when we have sell-offs on Wall Street all the time, we have adjustments on Wall Street. Is this an overall correction? I don't even know that we have an indication of that. But we're in the, let's just call it the top of the second inning here with a lot of this stuff. And, look, if you're looking for success stories, I got one right here. Rosie O'Donnell has left the country for Ireland. My God, there's a victory right there. What are you hoping for? This is really good. Let's play this right now.
I'm here in Ireland. And when, you know, it is safe for all citizens to have equal rights there in America, that's when we will consider coming back. So protect your sanity. It's all I can say. Protect your sanity as much as you can.
Oh, my God. Don't hurry back. And I'm just disappointed that I didn't get to contribute to the travel fund. And I think we really could do a lot in making sure you never come back. But here's Trump. This came up with the Irish. Was it the Irish prime minister or the president? Prime minister?
No, prime minister.
All right, prime minister.
Ireland is known for very happy, fun-loving people. Great attitude. Many in this room right now that I've met. Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness level.
That's true. Thank you. I like that question. Do you know you have Rosie O'Donnell?
No.
Do you know who she is? Do you know who she is?
Yes.
You're better off not, you're better off not knowing.
So, you know, that was a pretty good moment with the Irish Prime Minister this morning. And I'm going to hold off on Tish. We got Brian Kilmeade coming up here in a couple of minutes, but let me toss a couple more things in as we get started here this afternoon. This was a very helpful tweet from someone who follows me and is a listener of the show soon. I thought this was great. And sometimes, you know, people break things down, and I do appreciate it because it sends me maybe in another direction or gets me thinking about something differently. So Doug said this yesterday. Hey, Mark Reardon, KFDK. That's how you can follow me on the X, formerly Twitter. Here's something to clarify how the tariffs work. The tariff is paid by the company making the product if it's going to be imported into the U.S. The importer will likely pay some or all of that tariff in an increased wholesale price. Down the line, each company that buys or sells the product has the choice as to whether to pass that price increase along. So he says, could the price go up? Yes, but not always. If that tariff makes the product exorbitantly more expensive than its competitors, then one of the two things... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me put the emphasis on the right syllable there. If that tariff makes the product exorbitantly more expensive than its competitors, then one of two things happens. The companies along the line choose not to pass along the price increase, or if they do, the consumer has the choice to buy something else. In other words, and the example here I liked, and but maybe this doesn't, you know, apply equally to everything, but if you have Canadian maple syrup, or do you say syrup? I say syrup, or Canadian whiskey, if it's way more expensive than, you know, what you're getting out of Tennessee, well, then the customer has a choice, right? They can choose something else. That's how Doug says, that's how tariffs help American companies. It's not a tax because everyone along the line has the choice of whether to pass none, some, or all of it along. I thought that was a pretty good, I don't know if he's right about all that, but I'm going to go with it because the tariff situation is well above my pay grade, but I like that answer for sure. And thank you, Doug, for chiming in. One more thing that I want to mention, and we'll take a break here, and Kilmeade's coming up. We have another fish fry, as I mentioned. We have Kilmeade coming to town as well a week from Saturday. Fred's going to miss it because he's going to Japan. He will be at the fish fry on Friday. How much contact do you expect to have with us when you're over there, by the way?
You got WhatsApp now, Fred.
I do. It's a 12-hour time difference.
Right, so but, you know,
I'll figure out a time when I can get in touch with
you. So when we get on the other thing about this, so it's going to be 3 in the morning, so we're not really going to be chatting with Fred during the morning. But let's say we get up in the morning. It's 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock in Japan. You might be partying and clubbing at that time.
Yeah,
but
that's
you might communicate with
us. 100%
that's
accurate.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Have you decided what you're going to eat? Are you expecting to lose about 15 pounds on this? Because you don't eat seafood, Fred.
We're
very concerned.
Yeah, he's not an adventurous eater, and he doesn't particularly like seafood. But shrimp? What about shrimp? Do they have shrimp? I know that's seafood.
I will eat shrimp.
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be your saving grace, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to miss the Kilmeade show.
Catfish?
You like that?
I'm kidding. I don't think
guessing
they
that's
that
not
in
a
Japan.
Well, they may though.
Man,
you don't know. Look,
oh my gosh, let me look that up.
The other thing is you got to realize that there's things that are delicacies in other countries. Like carp is like
really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I don't think we do. Well, you know.
Yes, catfish are eaten in Japan, especially in mountain villages. Are you going to mountain villages?
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, they could ship them down to the big cities.
Hey, just stay away from any of the wet markets, if you would. I know that
you
was
China.
You
don't actually want to eat the catfish, right? That was a joke?
Okay. I'm not worried. He'll be fine.
Okay. My point on all this, and I think I lost my point, is briankilmeade.com if you want the VIP tickets. Even if you have tickets for the show, you can still add that on. Brian will meet and greet with you. You'll get a copy of his latest edition book that's signed, and it's just a great opportunity to meet the 97.1 FM Talk staff as well. And we usually have very heavy security around us, so that will be different that night. We're off and running. Here on what day is it? Wednesday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. Kilmeade is coming up next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, Brian, Ethan's getting Brian on the phone line. He's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. I did want to make mention again, the House did give final approval to this state takeover of our police department here in St. Louis. So that sends the plan to Governor Kehoe, and he's going to sign it. Tish is complaining about this, of course. She says it's disrespectful. But I swear, I got this story about Tish that I have to get to because there is one today in the local paper, and it made me laugh quite a bit. Something else, and Fred, I didn't talk about this yesterday, and now there's a further development. And look, we had her on the air when she was running. You know, I go, my daughter's in the Rockwood School District. Alexa was actually here with a couple of friends. They go to Stanton Elementary. I love my school district and my school that my daughter goes to, and the principal, Dr. Starnes. But there's a board member on Rockwood that I sort of helped get into this position, some of us did, that we're pushing more of a conservative member slate a couple years ago. And Izzy Imig was someone that kind of popped through, and she is a person of color. I can't remember. She's from India, something like that. But she was more conservative. She's on the board. Did you see what happened with her?
No.
Okay. Fred, you didn't see this?
No.
So she was accused of, this is what I don't get with people that have, you know, successful, she was accused of shoplifting at Target. And she just resigned from the board. The updated, I just noticed this because I went on to see the police takeover bill. Said the Rockwood School Board member accused of stealing from two area Target stores has resigned. She's also dropped her bid for re-election. Probably a good idea. She's up for election in April. It said that we've received notification from board director Izzy Imig that she's resigned as the board director for health and personal reasons.
Oh, dear.
Ms. Imig has also indicated that she no longer wants to be considered a candidate for the April 8th board election. Well, that's kind of a mess if you really think about it, because now what's going to happen with this particular race? So she was this is just weird, right? Don't shoplift, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
She was arrested March 4th. Over allegations that she stole a vacuum cleaner from the Target in Chesterfield. And then on Friday, Baldwin police, I go to this one, the Baldwin Target, which is right there at, I think it's New Baldwin in Manchester. She was there. She stole $300 worth of merchandise in February. What in the hell?
Okay, that's not small stuff either.
No,
like,
it's not.
You know, you walk out with something tiny, a vacuum cleaner, and then you do twice?
Well, look, I mentioned this the other day.
Wow.
I think this stuff is happening a lot because of the self-checkout, and people think that they can get away with it. I told you, like, you go to, if you go to Lowe's, this is my little trick, go to Lowe's and go back where the restrooms are. I have a small bladder, so I always have to do this. They literally have a list, I've read this to you guys, the top 10 items that are stolen.
Right.
And that's right.
And those are, there are a lot of times, there are items that are $200, $300, $400. You're like, how do they get them out of the...
And they're big.
Yes, but they just walk out with them. And then again, the employees at a lot of these stores aren't allowed to intervene, right? So, but that's just
horrible.
It is horrible. Anyway, all right, I think we got Kilmeade on the line. Of course, he's coming back to St. Louis very soon. It's a week from Saturday. Hey, Brian, how are you?
All good, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine. We have fantastic weather here in St. Louis. We're enjoying the extra added daylight. But let's start here with your show in a couple of weeks. I've been pushing the VIP tickets. I've heard from some listeners who have purchased those. So you go to BrianKilmeade.com to get tickets. Is it also true, Brian? I said this, so hopefully this is true. If you already have tickets to the show at the factory, can you add on the VIP afterwards?
Yeah, I think so. And no problem. I think that you just have to do it in advance.
Right.
That would be, rather than walk up and do it.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. So just maybe to incentivize some of the listeners, if they want to take part in the VIP experience, what does that include? Is there a back rub involved or anything like that?
Not anymore. We had to work out that back because you need all types of clearances and certificates.
Right.
But what we do is, it's my chance to just talk about you guys. You get to meet the cast. Like, we don't just, as fascinating as I am, I don't just sit on a chair and point to stills. We put together a show. This is like our 25th show. And each time we try to expand it. So I try to bring these moments in our past to life and kind of build it off 250. And I just give people a little of the background, how it's evolved. My two cast members, my buddies from high school, come out, give you an idea of what's happening, answer all the questions about what's happened behind the scenes at Fox and things of that nature. I find out what's going on with you guys. With everybody in the audience, and then we have a chance to, everyone gets Teddy and Booker T, so I sign it and we take a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's kind of like, and then we have a half hour off or 45 minutes off, and then we just go do the show.
Now, in the aftermath of the show, when you do the Q&A, is your friend from high school available so we can inquire as to what Brian Kilmeade was like when he was a young Ute in America?
That's what people are interested on. You know, that they do get that. Yeah, that's what's cool. Like, it's all unscripted. It's all off the record. And we'll see, it kind of, my whole point of doing this was, when I go to do a book signing, I'm lucky enough to have a decent crowd, but I never get a chance to talk to people more than 20 seconds.
Right.
So I said, what if I do my own events? And then I go, okay, this is great. Then it started getting more and more people coming. And I go, wait a second, it's the same thing again. So I go, can we create, because I'm at the end, I shake everyone's hand and I'll take pictures. And I go, how do I beat that? They said, well, you know, a lot of times you could do a VIP, but you just relax. And everyone could talk amongst themselves, meet each other, and then you meet us. So that's where the VIP came from our perspective.
I love it. You know, a lot of bands, I was actually just talking to a friend of mine this morning that lives in the Catskills in New York, and she's kind of trying to make a little bit of a comeback with music. She's retired a little bit to raise a family. And I was talking to her about this because we're trying to plan a show for the fall in Columbia, Missouri, and a lot of acts do the VIP. You can come before the show, maybe get a piece of vinyl or something like that. So in your case, you get a copy of the book that's signed. It's going to be awesome. Let's kind of talk about some of the issues of the day here. Maybe start with Ukraine, because it looks like there's a ceasefire that is now in the works. Does Putin respond to this in a positive way, do you think?
Very interesting, because he can't blow. It doesn't work to anyone's advantage, and he's too smart just to make Trump look bad. And he would. If he came out and said, I'm not signing this, we're winning. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm not stopping. I'm going to take more land. I'm going to need another. I'm going to need four more cities in each direction. If he does that, he will make Trump look so bad, and you might think, well, that's good. And you might, people listen, might go, I don't like Trump anyway. Well, just to keep in mind, he's got 3¾ years to be on the outs of all Western society with major sanctions that, even though they're not enforced like they should, all West has pulled out of that country. Remember, they can't sell oil direct. It's always third party at the discount rate. Remember, they've lost a million people through their voluntary brain drain that just don't want any part of that country anymore. And then, of course, how many people they're losing on a daily basis, and then what do they have to sell their soul to North Korea and Iran just to replenish their forces? So there's a reason, there's a motivation for Russia to do something. So the question is, do they say yes, but? Do they say, I like some of this, but not yet? Dmitry Peskov said, don't rush me. Don't get ahead of yourself. So I think that Trump's going to call. I think Steve Witkoff is going to go, and they're going to come up with some type of confidence measures. If they leave Trump out to dry after he massages this relationship for the longest time, I would say that Trump's leverage would be this. We are now going to arm up Ukraine. So the status quo will not be the status quo. We're going to flood in. He's got to even say this. We're going to flood in weaponry. They're better fighters than you. If you think you've paid a price now, just wait. This isn't Joe Biden gradually arming up. They're going to be massively armed up. So that's what Trump would have to do. Then the war would really heat up. And just keep in mind, I don't want any war. You don't want war. We didn't ask for this. We had nothing to do with this except for our weakness. A lot of that is acceptable. But when Russia's weaker, America gains, which wasn't the case. Wasn't supposed to be that way when the Cold War ended. So they've been exposed as an inept fighting force full overrun with corruption. They're taking tanks out of their museums from World War II to fill in. They had to beg Iran for drone technology, which is humiliating, and North Korea for troops, and Yemen for fighters. And now they're just picking people off the streets and putting them into the army.
Well, you know, I think I knew most of that except the tanks out of museums. They're really doing that? That's unbelievable.
And over a year they've been doing it.
Oh, my.
You believe that?
Yeah, I did not know that.
So, I mean, I just don't think they're going to look to embarrass Trump, because Trump is open to a fresh relationship. He does not link human rights to relations. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people love that. Hey, you worry about your country, but let me just tell you how you can help mine. That's what Putin wants. So let's see what happens. Also, on some level, Russia has never been a junior partner to anyone. And they look at us as an equal, which is not true. But they are a junior partner to China. And as long as those sanctions stay on and this war continues, nothing changes. So when they sit down and that door closes in their situation room, all those facts are going to be bantered about.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Brian Kilmeade back with us. By the way, if I had a dollar for every time we discussed a government shutdown possibility, I think I could retire by now. But here we are again on the cusp of a possible shutdown. I don't think it's going to happen. And this one would be on the Democrats. Is it one of those situations where we're going to have some of the D's on the Senate side given permission by Chuck Schumer and leadership to vote with this so they don't shut the government down? Or do you think they'll call his bluff here?
Well, a couple of things. There's some people that need not to be responsible for this or need to be shown to be moderate. Senator John Ossoff is one. He's up for re-election, and he's in an increasingly red state of Georgia. He's going to need that help. And I think that Mark Kelly is open to voting that way, that direction. I don't know who else besides Fetterman would be open to doing it. And what you're referring to, Mark, is you need 60 votes.
Right.
And it looks like Rand Paul will not sign a continuing resolution, so you need 8. So the Chuck Schumer, there's just no question. Everybody knows the rules. Well, the Republicans control the government, but everyone knows the rules. You need 60. So if you choose not to give your 8, it's really your shutdown. Even past, I mean, if they couldn't get out of the House, that's what I thought could happen. But they got out of the House. So everyone knows they need 60. So, you know, you can't make believe that there aren't, you don't need Democrats to do this. So it is on the Democrats. So I don't know if it works to their advantage to let the government shut down.
I don't think it does, you know, and they both sides do this, you know, they want to try to blame the others, but I think that would be devastating, certainly for the Democrats. And you look at the polling right now, Trump's got a lot of the American people on their side, and I think this is just, you know, something that the mainstream, much of the legacy media on the other side just can't deal with. What do you make, you know, I have some unhinged friends, Brian. Most of them are musicians, but there's a couple that have full-on Trump derangement, and I saw one of my friends post this picture about Elon Musk, and he's flipping off a Tesla, which is a thing now. I guess everyone's taking out. I had another colleague, a former colleague here, that just wrote a screed on Facebook about how he bought Teslas years ago, but now that Elon's a Nazi, he doesn't want to have anything to do with them. So there are people that are taking this into very strange areas right now. I guess that's been consistent with the Democrats, but wow.
But keep in mind what he's doing. He's not demanding all of us drive electric cars or his car. He's not saying we all have to get into his SpaceX capsule. He's saying, I'm going to these government entities, finding all the waste and abuse for free. And some of it, the federal workforce now, is not even in it. He can make recommendations, but it's all up to the secretaries. That's where this hate comes from. This is all deranged because this is normally what Trump got in 2020 or 2018 or 2016. So they are taking it out on Tesla. I'm sure if you had another public company, they'd be taking it out on that. Maybe none of these people will submit to brain chips, or to use the tunnel in Las Vegas that allows them to avoid traffic, or will go into space. So these are some of his companies. Also, he's got his own AI company. He's got Twitter. So no one's leaving X, by the way. X is actually more popular than ever. So I can't believe it. I just discourage other people from ever getting involved in government. I don't understand the hatred. I really don't.
Yeah, it's confusing to me as well. Where are you on this case from Columbia, you know, university with Khalil? I understand the free speech, you know, issues relating to that, but good Lord, he's a green card holder. He's certainly someone who supports terrorism. Trump and the administration, I think, have a lot of support on this, but there are constitutional issues at play here.
A couple of things. Number one, this is another issue in which did 13 Democrats signed on to a letter saying Donald Trump should be condemned for allowing Secretary of State Rubio to detain him in Louisiana. Number one, can they be more stupid?
Yeah, no, I know, right?
Chanting pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, disrupting class at Columbia and being anti-Semitic, anti-Israeli, as well as physically leading charges to physically harm these people. As he led the encampments and organized the encampments last summer that caused all the unrest. And the Democrats, how dare you detain him on a green card? When without even asking Marco Rubio what intelligence links him back to Hamas, to me, if you're holding Sinwar's picture and you're putting it up while you're taking over a building, that's pretty good indication that Hamas is your guy.
I think so. Hamas
is your group.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't seem too cloudy there, right?
I love that Trump's doing this. I put this just behind cracking down at the border as the most obvious thing that he would do if he got the job. And he is going to let everybody know that this is not okay in America. There's not going to be any gray area I don't want anybody called to Capitol Hill. Let them know in real time. And keeping $400 million from Columbia, I think, is a great message. And it looks like Harvard got that message. Harvard evidently disassociated themselves, who is putting themselves with Moss, kicked them off campus. So Harvard is into the government for billions of dollars.
Right, and they also have a $50 billion endowment. So they love the taxpayer money rather than the money that they're making on their investments. Is it too early, Brian Kilmeade, to talk about the show on Sunday night? What do you got together?
A couple of things. Brad Meltzer is going to be coming on, and he's going to be talking about this this powerful speech that he gave, at the University of Michigan, called Magic. So I think it's going to be an inspirational, practical thing that you his speech went viral. They decided to make it a book. We're also going to Jamie Lissau is going to help us out on media. We're going to have a panel with Tommy Lahren as well as Sid Rosenberg. And we're working on some other things, including part two of the University of Austin, Texas. That's a revolutionary college that allows you freedom of thought, also allows you to study the classics, get your fundamentals down. They stress entrepreneurship, and they are very, very pro-American. It is founded by Barry Weiss and Neil Ferguson. And now we talk to the students about being the first ever class. This thing is going to be huge. As people know, Hillsdale's very conservative.
Yeah.
I think this school is very modern, forward-thinking. A couple of students I had, he said, didn't vote for Trump. They said, but it doesn't matter here because we tolerate everybody, we like each other, and we have a well-rounded classic education. So we're having that.
Brian, we will talk next week. We're getting very close. BrianKilmeade.com or check out the factory site to buy tickets for the show. The VIP experience is available. We will we'll hook up one more time before this visit to St. Louis. So we'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right, Mark. Thank you. You'll be in the skits. We're working on your part right now.
I've heard rumors about that, so I look forward to
it. You're going to love it.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Brian. Well, we got a Wednesday edition of Sue's News coming up. Usually on Wednesday afternoon, we visit with Alex Rich from Y98. He's off today, but Elliot Davis, retired Fox 2 investigative reporter, is going to join us. His thoughts on the, we'll ask him about the police bill that finally did pass. Say it's going to Governor Kehoe's desk. He's got some interesting thoughts that are pretty counterintuitive to a lot of folks here on Gabe Gore, the circuit attorney. I guess we can't call him the new circuit attorney because he's been in there for a couple years now after the departure of Kim Gardner, thank God. But there are some things that are happening with some murder cases which are a little mysterious, and Elliot will report back on that. He'll join us at 4:25 in the 5 o'clock hour. Dr. Scott Polk, who is with the University of Missouri Extension. I just have, Sue, a lot of questions on the avian flu, on the bird flu, and, you know, what's happening with that. It's fascinating to me that every chicken needs a shot. You know, how are we going to go about that in trying to get it into feed or something like that? So Dr. Polk will join us, and Jim Talent, Senator Talent's going to be here. We'll talk a little Ukraine and some other international affairs. It's also the start of the Players' Championship, and our golf correspondent Dan Reardon will have a preview. No relation, as I always like to point out. Colin Morikawa, you know that name, Sue?
No.
So Colin is one of the PGA Tour pros. He's constant. I don't know if he's in the top 10 currently worldwide, but he usually is in the top. But they, you know, they do warm-up rounds when they get ready for these championships. Sometimes, like at the Masters, they do the par three and the kids come out.
Right.
But the caddy of Colin Morikawa, who the caddies are usually really good golfers too, he had a hole-in-one on the island hole. And the island hole is legendary because a lot of people hit the water.
Oh,
right?
I'm sure.
It's number 17. The closing holes at this golf course are just absolutely amazing.
And it's a great tournament.
He had a hole-in-one today.
That's
And, you know, when you see that, someone's filming it and they go crazy, especially for the caddy to get it. Ethan might even show you the deal there.
Cool.
This whole thing about Tesla is just really unhinged right now. Like, I just saw something. There's a great site that I follow on Twitter called Clown World. I highly recommend it, at Clown World. London is currently plastering anti-Elon Musk ads at, like, bus stops to tell people to delete their X accounts. So there's a picture of Elon doing the, you know, the salute that they claim was the Nazi salute, and it says, X marks the rot, delete your account. Okay,
people.
Yeah, go for it. I guess if that's what we are. But listen, you know, people who own Teslas are getting vandalized right now.
After that traffic light, I heard like two knocks on the back of my truck. It's just like, oh, geez. Okay, what happened?
I mean, that's nuts, right?
Come on, people.
Yeah, right. I mean, a couple things. there's this allegation, like, listen to this person, Julie Roginski, who is on MSNBC.
First of all, it's not legal. Let's start with that. Second, and we can't do this on the property of the White House. It's federal property. Second.
Now, she's talking about the event with Elon a couple of days ago when Trump and Elon were there and they were talking about the Teslas.
Really? The president is basically a car salesman now? It's just astounding with everything that's going on. I mean, literally.
They hate everything he does.
World. He's taking time out of his day to array four or five Teslas on the White House lawn and basically act like a showroom salesman. For, by the way, I don't know who he thinks is buying Teslas, but I can guarantee you that they're out of reach, many of them, for the average Trump voter. So
yeah, so anyone who voted for Trump is just poor working class. There's no one of any means that has even dared to think about buying a Tesla who support Donald Trump. They act as if MSNBC, CNN, they're all acting as if 50%+ of the country doesn't agree with him on most of this. It is stunning. I could have predicted a lot about the media, but they even have shocked me. They really have. Sue's News on a Wednesday coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.